So some of the issues I listed at the beginning of our discussion, ethical issues. So there is the National Catholic Bioethics Center in Washington, D.C. I've got a bioethicist on call 24 hours a day, and their phone number is listed for emergencies, or you can contact them by email, and I left a website where you can find them. In this day and age, what's considered ordinary treatment, extraordinary treatment, just a various of sundry things, they'll help you navigate. All right. The unexpected trial, so discernment of God's will. So when we are given a terminal diagnosis, we are typically not ready to receive such news. This would be the same for those who know and love us. So it's not just us, but our loved ones, perhaps. Along with deep emotions also comes medical decisions to be made. Should I do this recommended treatment or surgery? If I do this, what is my expected prognosis? How will this affect me and my loved ones? So once we've determined whether the treatment is ethically sound, it's so important to take all this information given to you. You discuss it with your loved ones and medical power of attorney, if you have one, and then take it to prayer. Take it to prayer. Seek the Lord's will for you in this trial. Does he want you to do this treatment or not? Seeking God's will and following it can only give you peace. And you will have peace because his grace and love will be with you, whether it's for a miraculous cure, a medical cure, or the healing of your soul in preparation for eternal life with him. The goal of our life is always sanctity. So when the end of our life comes, we can be with him in heaven for all eternity.
I mean, I do think that we are confronted with a much more challenging time in this century because there are so many possible routes that one can take to try to preserve the natural life, which is always a great good, right? We have to remember that the natural life is a great good, but it is not the best good. So maintaining your faith and making certain that, I mean, just to put those things in perspective, right? The single most important of those three topics is the relationship of your soul to be in a state of grace, to be prepared to die, right? That is the single most important element that I think, unfortunately, with our very fallen world and the further that we get away from, like I said, when the church fails to present in a very healthy and holy way those four last things, then the only thing that people cling to is the natural life, when really the natural life is the one that should be despised the most, and the one that should be loved the most is the supernatural, right? Your spirit, the condition of your soul. So if you're at peace, right, in your soul, then when the grace of healing comes or doesn't come, there's no shaking of the foundation. But if you seek the healing of the body without seeking the healing of the soul, and the healing of the soul, the body doesn't come, there is a great potential that you will be resentful and not capable of turning over your life to the Lord, right? Because there will be a profound disappointment. So really, you know, making sure that you have, particularly at the end of life, a truly supernatural outlook, that your the state of your soul is the primary concern, and the state of the body secondary, because then everything will be rightly ordered, and no matter what comes, you will, I believe, have a great sense of peace. Thanksgiving for healing, or thanksgiving for, you know, final perseverance.
That's correct. So we have to zoom in, I think, on it's an aspect of Christianity. I think it is more nettlesome for us than the Trinity, which we took up with great boldness in the last set of shows. and is the topic of forgiveness. And we really need to drill into this. In Matthew 6, 9 to 15, the Lord teaches us how to pray well in teaching us the Our Father. He teaches this. He immediately emphasized the importance of forgiveness contained in this prayer. In fact, Jesus also mentions in Matthew 18, 35, that if we do not forgive others from our hearts, we ourselves will not be forgiven. This is a non-negotiable condition to enter into the kingdom of heaven. To forgive from our hearts means that we must will it by the grace of God. This doesn't mean we will never remember a hurt, but in forgiving by the grace of God, we are set free from the chains that has held us in spiritual and emotional bondage. Granting forgiveness to others and or asking forgiveness from another person sets not only ourselves free, but also the other person. The Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Colossians 3:13. Forgiveness is exemplified by Jesus' example on the cross. It's an act of mercy. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And if I set, I have a list here of all the places that the New Testament talks about forgiving. And it is 2.5 prayers concerning what the saints have to say. But our blessed Lord, the scriptures, and when Mark 11, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But here it is. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Matthew 26:28. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Luke 6:37, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And in the Our Father, give us our daily bread, as we forgive those who have trespassed us. The Eucharist and forgiveness, tied. 2 Corinthians, anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Colossians 3, the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. So it's just... and somehow, my friends, we do. We want to skate by those very, very clear statements by our Lord. If we have, I let you have closing remarks, and then we're going to go into steps that we can take as given by an exorcist. But closing thoughts.
Yeah, all I would add to that is just that, you know, how you said before that it's an act of the will. I think that unfortunately in this world where everything has become very emotion driven, right? People think that they cannot enter into forgiveness if they don't feel it, right? And it's very, very important that people understand that grace builds on nature and perfects it. So when you forgive from the heart, what that means is to forgive from the heart means that you intellectually, willfully state, I forgive this person and I will the good for that person, right? So when no matter what is going to befall that person, you specifically hope for good things for that person and not evil things for that person, right? You can intellectually assent to that. That as you do that, the more active that you are in that, the more that your emotional state is going to follow that. But if you wait for your emotional state to be ready to forgive, you may never get there, right? So our Lord is very, very clear that it has to be an act of the will, not an emotional connection to the person. I mean, it could be very well true that the person that you are forgiving has done something of such an egregious nature that they do not have any longer any right to your emotional goodness, right? I mean, insofar as it is prudent for you maybe to not be in relationship in terms of an emotional relationship with that person. But that does not have anything to do with whether or not you forgive them and release them from the wrong that they did to you, right? That is an important consideration that I think that people really need to be able to be helped over that hump, that all that you have to do is say, I forgive you, and hope that that person finds forgiveness in the Lord, right? And that someday that person may also be with you in heaven. That's
very good. Leads into Father Jim Blount. He's a salt priest. Till then, my friends, fides ad ratio.